Good evening, it is 5pm and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After delaying the decision in winter 2024, at their last meeting, Council decided not to increase the reduction target for corporate greenhouse gas emissions from 30% to 40 to 50% by 2030. The initial delay was a disappointing outcome for many environmental advocates who appeared before Council and advocated for a more ambitious target. However, the extra time gave staff an opportunity to gather more information and evaluate the feasibility of the goal. The information gathered ultimately led to the decision not to move forward with the target increase. Nathan Mannion of Greenscale, the consultant who compiled a report about the city's emission reduction efforts, noted a 30% reduction is already no small feat.
30% is the most optimistic target. It's not the most realistic, it's the most optimistic target.
Another key challenge Mannion mentioned was that many key changes being made now will take time to implement and have impact, with only 5 years to reach the goal.
This window of reaching that 30% by 2030 is extremely narrow. We have a two-year window. Most of these reductions still have to happen, yet they take 5 to 7 years to establish this infrastructure, but we only have 5 years left. The math of the timelines doesn't add up.
Kingston's emissions are separated into corporate, meaning city-owned and operated facilities and transit, and community, encompassing all other emissions. Corporate emissions make up 2% of the city's total output.
When we're looking at that corporate footprint, we have to remember the corporate footprint is supporting the larger community. It's not just its own individual silo. So as we look at overall Kingston's overall emissions in 2024, the corporate was only 2% of that overall footprint. The community is 98%. So even if we were to eliminate the corporate by 100% by 2030, we're still going to be left with most of the footprint of Kingston's greenhouse gas emissions. So corporate reductions alone are not going to be enough to reach the target. We have to work in tandem as a group.
The city has been taking steps to reduce what it can control through its vehicle fleet and facilities. The city has been focusing on making existing processes more efficient. But according to Russell Horn, the city's leader in energy and asset management, there are limits to what can be achieved through maximizing efficiency.
So to date, facilities have been primarily focused on efficiency and reducing energy use, although we cannot reach net zero through efficiency alone.
While the city is looking to replace infrastructure as it ends its life cycle with more environmentally friendly options, like replacing old buses with electric buses, this process will take time and money. According to the presentation by staff, 30% by 2030 will already cost the city $26.3 million, and the price tag only increases with more ambitious goals. Ultimately, council voted 12-1 to keep the target at 30%. With Councillor Jeff McLaren being the sole vote opposed. At their last meeting, Council voted unanimously to launch a visioning process for three major city properties, the Memorial Centre, Centre 70, and the Portsmouth Olympic Harbour. This move was motivated by the controversial proposal earlier this year to build a 4,000-seat soccer stadium at the Memorial Centre site. That idea faced strong opposition from the Kingston and District Agricultural Society, who organized the fall fair at the location, the Memorial Centre Farmers Market, and residents of the neighborhood. The heated situation raised wider questions about how to safeguard the future of these public spaces. These sites are currently home to a wide range of uses, from Queen's University hockey to weekly farmers markets. With many of these spaces' lifespans coming to an end, some big decisions have already been made, like the decommissioning of Centre 70 as an arena. Councillor Wendy Steven noted the weight of the changes coming to all these facilities.
I just want to acknowledge that decommissioning Centre 70 really is the end of an era. A lot of memories were made there by a lot of different people over the years, and in particular, back before amalgamation, right, when this was Kingston Township. It holds a lot of emotional energy for a lot of people. I think that while, you know, there will be some people who are disappointed by this recommendation, I do think that decommissioning this facility is the right thing to do. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of community consultation for this new opportunity. So I'm hoping that not just Lakeside District, but you know, members of the community from across the city do participate and we get the best ideas coming forward.
Commissioner of Community Services Jennifer Campbell explained what the city hopes to achieve with the visioning exercise.
I really think we're approaching this visioning exercise as an opportunity to really think about how these spaces and places want to be used by our community. What are the opportunities that we could align different services, operation models, et cetera, as opposed to a construction exercise where we're really only talking about the build plan, the design concept on the whole. So we're advancing a design in the Memorial Center, which is being fed by criteria and visioning. But we want at the M Center to come out with an actionable plan that will let us get costing and all of that. The visioning exercises are more about what are the operations, what are the opportunities on those locations that council can then endorse for us to allow us direction to move forward on confirming costing and next steps. I think what the public will expect to see are open community calls to meetings and opportunities to talk about uses, what's happening within those neighborhoods or in the local use of those spaces. And then there would also be specific stakeholder engagement with those who currently have tenancy or using the sites to help to feed into those uses. And then there's the broader connection to other needs within our community through either net new involvement in the visioning process or referencing past consultation.
Councillor Brandon Tozzo capped off the discussion.
I'm envisioning this as a success.
City staff will now begin consultations with updates expected later this year. Announced today, NAV Canada has broken ground on the country's first ever digital air traffic facility right here in Kingston. This temporary site will serve as the foundation for next-generation air navigation technologies before a permanent digital hub is established in the city. David Shepherd, NAV Canada's Vice President and Chief Technology Officer, explained in an interview with CFRC how Kingston's new facility will transform the current air traffic control model.
Yeah, it's very different in terms of the nature around how the services are going to be provided forward. Today, we have staff that work actually physically at a location in a physical building looking at windows. Tomorrow, with this technology, the introduction of this technology, we'll be bringing in state-of-the-art cameras, equipment that will and high-speed networks that will bring in video feeds and simulate the out-the-window view onto a screen that can be independent of the location of where the service is provided from. And the technology that's available actually also includes significant improvements from what's available from out the human eye. So things like digital overlays, or you can see surveillance, automatic detection, tracking, that all improves the safety environment for our employees and for the aviation community.
So why Kingston? Shepherd says a combination of factors made the city an ideal fit.
We ended up looking across the country to determine where we thought would make most sense to start trialing this technology and our first digital hub as well. And we ended up narrowing in within a region of a number of different cities. And Kingston was looked at for a number of different factors on three categories, work, live, and play. And it really was looking at it from an employee's perspective around the quality of life, not just of the work environment, but for their family and for themselves in terms of the city that they're living in. And so Kingston came out amongst the top within the region that we were looking for. In addition, it's got proximity to Ottawa, which is an important element, particularly for this first site, for our technical teams to go there and our operational teams to go there to trial the technology, but also the regulator, which is Transport Canada, to be part of the process as well and be able to hop in a car and go down to Kingston and see the technology as it's evolving to ensure that they're confident in the solution and the capabilities as well.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of got into it a bit there, but what does this mean for the city and our residents? What kind of opportunities will this bring?
So there's a number of opportunities that are going to pop up. One is just trialing the technology. So there is investment that's going in to Kingston even right now with this announcement. You'll see we're starting a fairly significant construction project to build out and expand the existing tower that's at the Kingston Airport to accommodate this digital facility. It also will mean a number of different jobs that will move into Kingston as well in terms of providing our traffic services. We've also just relocated a couple of technologists as well that will be there. So these are great jobs, and it's a great city, and so it will be a significant amount of opportunity for the city of Kingston.
The Kingston site is part of NAV Canada's broader Digital Aerodrome Air Traffic Services Initiative, joining a global shift already underway in 16 other countries.
Yeah, so we end up looking across the globe, really, to see, you know, who is doing what in air traffic control services using these digital facilities. And there's a number of really interesting models that are out there. One is in London City, where they end up remoting in a very busy airport into Swanwick, so it's the southern part of the UK. And the other one was in Norway, where there was a digital hub concept that we end up seeing, which was where we think the future is, where it's not just about moving single airports. It's looking at this much more holistically as an organization around how we can move multiple airports into a single location so that we can provide more staffing flexibility. We can concentrate sort of the technology investments in the future as well. And so looking at those models, we ended up mirroring ours off of the Norway model.
The permanent hub in Kingston is expected to be up and running in the early 2030s and will eventually host remote services for up to 20 airports.
Yeah, it's all dependent on how the technology evolves and getting through a number of stages of approvals for ourselves to make sure we're confident that the safety case behind it, the technology is functioning, and our operational staff are able to use it appropriately, and making sure our regulator with Transport Canada is also confident in the capabilities that we've demonstrated along the way. So there's a number of gates that we're moving along, but the more permanent solution is we're looking in the early 2030s for us working towards that. But we're starting with Kingston at the Kingston Airport, and then we'll be adding one additional airport to trial out the remote capabilities within the next few years associated with that. And then after that, that's where we start building up the digital hub and scaling that up.
For now, Kingston will lead the way in testing Canada's aviation future. For CFRC News, I'm Christina Laurie, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, September 8th, daytime high of 18 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Tuesday, September 9th, a little warmer, daytime high of 20 degrees, a beautiful sunny day feeling closer to 21 in the direct sun. Wednesday, September 10th, 22 degree day here in the city of Kingston. It's going to be a beautiful and sunny day. Thursday, September 11th, even warmer still, a daytime high of 23 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. However, it is going to drop down to 8 degrees overnight, so we are starting to get those chillier fall evenings. Friday, September 12th, daytime high of 19 degrees with sunny conditions. Saturday, September 13th, daytime high of 20 with an overnight low of 13. Sunday, September 14th, 75% chance of precipitation in the area with a daytime high of 21 degrees and showers all throughout the day. And then moving into the start of next week, Monday, September 15th, daytime high of 22 degrees with a 70% chance of rain in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Let's begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cranbrook Street, Lakeview to Days, closed on school days from 8:40 a.m. to 9:20 a.m. and 3:20 p.m. to 3:50 p.m. for School Street at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Innovation Drive, John Marks to Innovation South, closed September 10th at 7 a.m. to September 18th at 6 p.m. for the installation of storm and sanitary sewers. Kings Court Avenue concession to First is closed until October 10th for a gas main installation. Lincoln Drive at Bay Ridge closed until September 19th for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Montreal Street at Rideau and Railway is closed September 11th at 11 p.m. to September 12th at 6 a.m. for paving operations. Princess Street at Taylor Kidd and John Counter, closed September 10th at 11 p.m. to September 11th at 6 a.m. for paving operations. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Woodburn Road, Hitchcock to Whitechurch, is closed for a contractor to complete culvert relining. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Cataraqui Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users and accommodate increased traffic from the Wavin Crossing. Trudell Road, development to Danbury. Expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.